When, God willing, one day when many of you are rabbis, you'll realize that one of the things that that becomes very different for someone who's a rebbe in a community or a rabbi in a community is like just going shopping, like going to the local supermarket. My wife knows that if she wants to send me to just quickly go pick something up at the supermarket and it's one item, that it will likely take an hour. Not only because it will take me an hour to find it, which may also be true, but also because you always run into people and it becomes a parent-teacher conference and everyone needs to ask their shailas and whatever. So it's just like, you know, that's just the way it works. That's, you know, it's the life we choose. Okay, good. So last year I was in Gourmet Glot on one of my one-hour trips, and I ran into Avrami Farber, a guy I know from years ago. I was an assistant rabbi in Shari Tfila in Lawrence. He was a member of the shul, and he's also the uncle of the famous Rabbi Natan Farber that many of you know. And he stopped me for 10 minutes, and he gave me a spectacular drasha that I'm about to share with you. So that was a pretty good one. You know, a lot of times you get stopped, and it's like a lot of wasted time. This is a pretty good one. So here's what he told me. I never heard this, but I thought it was so creative. The Torah tells us that in the reaction to Shira Sayan, Miriam responds, right? Vatikach Miriam anaviya achos Aaron es hatov biyada vatetzena kol anashim acharel betupim uvimucholos. Miriam takes the tof. What's a tof? So a tof is a timbrel. Timbrel? And is that how you pronounce it? T-I-M-B-R-E-L. That's what the art school says. There's a picture of it in the Chabad Chumash. I was in Chabad in California on Tuesday morning, and I saw a picture of a tof. It looks like a, I don't know what you call those things, whatever, one of those shaky things, you know, but whatever. So anyway, so it's some type of instrument. So she took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went after with their timbrels and with dances, etc. Now, the word hatov is a little bit of an interesting word, because ha is a hey hayadia. It's a definitive article, you know, it's the timbrel, meaning it seems to be that we're talking about not just a tov, but hatov. What's the hatov? Where did we ever have this tov before that that is being brought up again now? It could have said, Vatikach Miriam and Viachos Aaron, tov biyada. Also, it says that she took hatov biyada. Well, if you've seen the picture in the Chabad Chumash like I did, the only place you'd imagine you'd be able to take it is biyada. There's no other way to carry it, meaning it's not something that people would shake with their feet. It's not something you would shake with your mat. Obviously, it's biyada. What's the Chumash adding when it tells me that she took a biyada? And also, on the Pasuk's description of her being Achos Aaron, you know, it begs the question, wasn't she also Achos Moshe? So Rashi writes, Achos Aaron is referring us back to a time prior to the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, when she was only Achos Aaron, and she was already a Neviah. She was already a Neviah. She was the sister of Aaron. Moshe wasn't born yet, and her Nevuah pertained to Moshe Rabbeinu's birth. Asid imi laholid Moshiach shel Yisrael. But it doesn't explain why was it necessary to identify Miriam as a Neviah at all in this context. Meaning, okay, granted, she was a Neviah before Moshe was born. You know when it would have been a great time to tell me about that? Before Moshe was born, right? Why does it have to tell me about that now when she's singing a Shira? Singing a Shira, L'chor, has nothing to do with being a Neviah. So what Rav Ram Farber suggested is that we have to find where else a Tof came up in Chumash, to find out what Hatov is. Hatov implies that there's some Tov that was known to us already. And there's only one other place in Chamisha Chumshe Torah where there's a Tov. And that is when Lavan, at the end of Parshas Vayetze, when he hears about Yaakov having left him, he chases Yaakov down, and he catches up to him. And he, you know, acts all indignant, and he says, "How could you leave me like this and take away my family, etc." And he says, "Laman chvesel levroach v'tignovosiv lo gadli. You didn't tell me about this. Vashalechacha. I would have sent you besimcha uveshirim betof uvechino." Love. The only other tof you have in Chumash is Lavan says, "That's how I would have escorted you." With tof, with drums, it seems to mean, and that's the way it's understood over there. So apparently tof is tof lavan. So maybe the hatov has something to do with the Tof Lava. Maybe it has something to do. So what he suggests is the following. Miriam's nevuah is somewhat startling, because the pasuk in Shemot says, Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, and Rashi tells us that, what does it mean, Vayelech? It means he followed his daughter's advice. Paro made a gezerah that all the boys were going to be thrown into the Nile, and Amram therefore separated from Yocheved not to have to bring children into such a situation. Rachman al-San, sometimes you have a situation where you know that a child that's going to be born is going to have a terrible fate in terms of health, or is certainly going to die or whatever, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to bring a child into that that situation. So Amram said, rather than continue to live as a married couple and see that happen, he's separated. And Miriam challenges her father, and she says, Shalucha kasha mishal paro. Sheparo lo gozer el al zcharim va'ata gam kenal anekevos. You're saying worse than paro. Paro lo gozer el al zcharim. You're worse. You're being gozer on the nekevos as well. Where else do we find sheparo lo gozer el al hazcharim? Again, only one other place, I think, in rabbinic literature. Sheparo lo gozer el al zcharim. It comes up in the Haggadah. Tsei uleman ma bikesh Lavan harami lasos Yaakov Avinu, sheparu lo gazar ela ala zecharim, v'lavan bikesh lakaras hakol. Wow, is that a coincidence? That paru lo gazar ela zecharim comes up when it's a description of Lavan that we do every single year at the Seder, and paru lo gazar ela zecharim is Miriam talking to her father, telling him that he has to go back to the mother. So essentially, Lavan pretended to be this friendly and concerned father-in-law, wanting nothing more than to provide Yaakov with a proper send-off, with a tof, you know, of joy and celebration. And Lavan's real intention was a tof of melchama, was to wipe out Yaakov entirely, was to wipe out the Zecharim and the cables. So when Miriam invokes that same expression, Shapar lo gozer ala Zecharim va'ata gam kein ala nekevos, she was telling Amram, you're helping Lavan achieve Lakoras HaKol. You're helping him do what he wanted to do. So she begged him to reunite with Yocheved for the sake of the survival of the Jewish people. And at that moment, she had a nevuah. Asidi imi laholid Mashiach shel Yisrael. When my parents get back together, the child that's going to be born from that is going to be the Mashiach shel Yisrael. It's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. And perhaps when that vision of the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael came to fruition, she pulls out the tof. It's a symbolic gesture, not that there was no tof that Lavan had. Lavan was speaking about a theoretical tof, but it's ha-tof. That's the symbol. She was showing that she had absolute conviction that her vision was true. And therefore, it's like a defiant picking up the tof to show that we've defeated Lavan. That tof that Lavan wanted to use to do Lakoras HaKol. And Miriam kept that tof. And she would always, throughout all the darkest times, she had confidence because she was a Nevi'ah. So she knew it was going to happen. So she always had it. So Rashi comments on the end of the Pasuk, Besupim ubemecholos muftachos hayu tzikaniyo shabadar shakarosh baruch hu osalem nisim v'otziru supim mimitzrayim. Where did the women get supim from to be able to do this song? So Rashi says that they knew that there was going to be a brighter future, that God was going to do great miracles, and they took these timbrels out of Mitzrayim in preparation for that song. Why did Rashi wait until the end of the pasuk to tell, you know, when it talks about the timbrels of the women, that it says where they got it from? Why not talk about Miriam? Why not mention that right away by Miriam's tof? So why did Rashi reserve his comment until the end? Because Miriam's tof was not prepared on the way out of Mitzrayim. Miriam's tof was way earlier. Miriam had prepared a tof when people had no hope, when people were despondent, when people thought that there wasn't going to be. But she was a Nevi'ah, and she knew that there was going to be something. So now you go back to the pasuk. Vatikach Miriam a Nevi'ah achos Aaron es hatof biyada. Miriam took the tof. Which tof? The same tof we had encountered earlier in Chumash, the tof of Lavan that she picked up 80 years earlier in that darkest moment when she was giving her nevuah to her father. And this became the symbol of the hope for the Jewish people. Why biyada? Because it was saying hatof biyada. It was the tof that was always biyada. Not that it was vatikach biyada. It's at Vatikach, Hatov Biyadah, the Tov that was always in her hand, because this was the Tov that was the symbol of her hope, of her positivity. And that's why all of this speaks to Miriam's hope when she was Achos Aaron, because that's the point where she stepped up to have the courage to share that hope and to share that positivity when she was Achos Aaron. And this is when it's all coming to fruition. And it's something that's really amazing that we find a number of Mamari Chazal about. And that is the confidence and the conviction of Jewish women, even when very often things look very bleak. Right? We find B'schus Nashim Tzidkaniyos Nigalu Avaseinu Mitzrayim. Because they would wait, Tachas HaTapuach, and they would hope for a better future when men were totally giving up on life. When men were thinking, there's nothing, no reason to have children, no reason to continue. And women had the emuna and the bitachon to think toward the future. I remember last year when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I had a conversation with a father of a fallen soldier, and he told me that he said, "My wife is the one I look to for emuna and bitachon." You know, and it occurred to me, like every case, every situation of a soldier, Rachman al Tzlan, who was killed or was maimed or, you know, something terrible happened to him. Every single case, there's a mother, there's a wife, there's... How many times did you hear wives or mothers of soldiers, and many of them are Olim, are people who made Aliyah and brought their families into a situation where there was going to be this sakana. How many times did you hear, "We shouldn't have done it. We shouldn't have come to Israel. What a mistake this was. My kid could have been very happy in YU right now and would not have..." I don't think I heard it once. You speak to people and there's like this sense of we're not in this moment. It's not about this moment. Yeah, there are very, very dark times, but it's about the future. And how quickly can things change? Yeshua Hashem is clarifying. I mean, you just hear the way how quickly the tone of the conversation, whether it actually means anything or not, who knows? But the tone of the conversation that comes out of Washington changes in like a matter of days. I mean, it's wild how quickly things can change. But women are the ones that were able to see that emuna, that bitachon. That's what we need to lean into in times of difficulty. Okay.